Be turning to Ezekiel chapter 34. Now I do have a little bit of bronchial scratchiness, so if I take a coughing fit and have to stop, you just have to forgive me. Does everybody want to try to get out of here about 12 o'clock? Well, I was going to say that's too bad if you do, because I don't know that we'll do that. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think we'll get out of here right at 12. But I thought you might like that. I didn't. I thought it might brighten up your soul for a moment, and then to dash your hopes into pieces. I guess I'm known for that. Ezekiel chapter 34. I will read just a couple verses for the sake of time. I would encourage you to go sometime and read this chapter. And I may speak on it more. I don't really know. But Ezekiel chapter 34, let me read the two verses particularly from which I will, the two verses from which the bulk of my message, I think, comes is verses 18 and 19 of Ezekiel 34.
Yeah.
Now, Ezekiel is prophesying against the shepherds of Israel.
Yes, sir.
Now, it doesn't call them false shepherds, but that's what they were in effect.
Yeah.
That's what they were in effect. False shepherds. They were self-centered, self-absorbed men who led the people of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
But they did so according to the flesh and not according to the gospel of Christ.
Exactly.
And in writing against them, in prophesying against them, Ezekiel's moved to write these words, "Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But ye must tread." Notice that. Those words. "But ye must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures."
Yeah.
"And to have drunk," and the "must" is still continued.
Yeah.
You know? In other words, for you, it's like a necessity's laid on you.
Yeah.
"And to have drunk of the deep waters."
Yeah.
"But ye must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock," now think about this now. "And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet."
Yes, sir.
When I read that the other day, it just hit me. We read this chapter and other chapters as well, the surrounding chapters, and read in other places. God's truth is likened by God through Ezekiel as good mountain pasture.
Yes, sir.
He talks about sheep and shepherds and that kind of thing. I can see it. I've seen pictures. I've never been there, but I've seen some of the places in, say, like the Netherlands or Switzerland, and making these beautiful white snow-topped mountain, and then down below are these just lush green pastures, and you see these animals grazing. That's what God's truth is likened to by Ezekiel.
Yeah.
Good mountain pasture. And cool streams of water to God's sheep. In other words, it's our sustenance. God's truth is our sustenance. It's what we feed on. It's what we feast on.
Yes, sir.
It's something to come to the table to eat just to keep going. It's another thing to come to the table to eat because it's just so enjoyable to eat. That's what I'm talking about, complacency. Oftentimes, because of God's grace, and only because of God's grace, we eat because we have to. Can't help it. We eat. Oh, but God help revive us so that we eat because we want to.
There you go.
Good mountain pasture, cool streams of water to God's sheep. God's truth is said to feed. Right here, even in this chapter, to feed. To give rest. He said, "My sheep will lay down."
Yeah.
He said, "They'll lay down." God's truth feeds, gives rest. It binds up and strengthens God's people. If it doesn't, you got no right to claim you're one of God's people.
There you go.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not being mean. That's caring for your soul.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the way it is.
Now, granted, there are some lost sheep. Mason, they're not in the good pasture and around the cool mountain waters yet, but they shall be.
Yeah. Exactly.
And when God brings them there, they go eat that grass, they go drink that water.
Yeah.
Why? Because that's what sheepies do.
That's exactly it.
They're going to eat and drink.
Yes, sir.
But there are some, and according, if you look at the preponderant testimony of Scripture, those some are said to be many.
Exactly.
Sad. Well, let me put it, it's sad truly from a human perspective.
Exactly. Yeah.
But there are some who trod underfoot these good mountain pastures.
Yes, sir.
There are those who foul with their feet these good, cool streams.
That's right.
And while they may trample, because God said you do.
Yeah.
Peter comes along and says there was many false prophets back yonder. There's going to be many false teachers.
Yeah.
And that hadn't stopped. Exactly. That's still so today.
That's right.
And while they may trample the good grass, and they may pollute the cool stream of God's truth, nevertheless, that's where we still feed and drink.
That's right.
You hear what I say?
Yeah.
That's where we still feed and drink. God's truth. God's truth is sustenance to my soul.
Yeah. Amen.
And when sheep feed, God has ordained it. Now, here's the reason. Now, I'm not talking about nature. When God's sheep feed, God's ordained it. They feed together.
Yeah.
That's right. Just the way it is. Because He said there's going to be one fold, one shepherd.
Amen.
Therefore, right. You can't help but bump into one another on occasion.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
God doesn't call you out of darkness into light. God doesn't go out into the wilderness and rescue a sheep so they can send that sheep Joe back out into the wilderness to live by itself.
Exactly.
That is not the way God saves people.
Exactly.
And I find myself saying that over and over, more and more. You know why? Because I see men and women who profess the truth of the grace of God in Christ that could care nothing about gathering together with God's people. Yeah. And it saddens me to my core.
You're right.
And yet they think they're bound for glory.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
One of you the other day mentioned to me along this line, if you don't want to be with God's people now, how in the world do you think you're going to want to spend eternity with them in glory? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be different then. You ain't different now?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's your problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, that was a rabbit track.
There you go.
That wasn't even where I was going.
That's good, though. Good trail.
But here's why we know, even where they trod underfoot the green pastures,
yeah,
and they foul with their feet the cool mountain streams, yet that's where we feed. Why? Because God's seeing to it.
Amen.
Therefore, verse 20. You see it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them. Unto them who?
Yeah.
Unto both groups.
Yeah.
But look at what he says. Behold, even I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle.
That's right.
Now see, most people want to think. Now just think about this for a moment. Most people want to think, well, God is after good people and He's going to damn bad people. And that's really the opposite way of which it is.
Right.
Those who think they're good people are the ones that's going to perish.
Right. That's right.
Those who know they're ungodly is those the kind God saves.
Amen.
That's right.
Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because we'll see something here in a moment. God said, I judge between fat cattle and between lean cattle. And that's His business.
Amen.
Now, here's the point. If God wants one fat one here and a lean one over there, that's His business.
Exactly.
If God wants a big gob of fat ones over here, Neil, or a big gob of lean ones over here, that's His business.
That's right.
I judge between the cattle.
You bet. Right.
Fat and lean. I do it.
Amen.
Isn't that what God said? Because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. And you can see this really large beast here amongst the other beasts.
Yeah.
And he's got these big horns and big shoulders, and he's pushing everything else to the side. It's all about me, 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 me.
Exactly.
See it? Yeah. That's what he's talking about. Therefore, will I save my flock. You know why? Because the flock can't save itself.
Amen.
That's why God's got to do it.
That's right.
I mean, one sheep by himself or herself, or all the sheep together, we can't save each other.
Exactly.
Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge. Now that look between cattle and cattle.
Amen.
See the difference here now?
Yes, sir.
And I will. Thank God he said, I will.
Amen.
This ain't talking about the regathering into Babylon. That was mentioned just before in this chapter.
Yeah.
This is talking about the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he says, I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. See all the wheels and shalls?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. Is he talking about David the king who was in his tomb and buried? No. Talking about David's greater son.
Amen.
That's who he's talking about. I, the Lord, have, what, Joe? Spoken it.
Amen.
And I will make with them a covenant of peace. And I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the woods. And sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. How many people do you know that sings the song, There Should Be Showers of Blessing, and knows where that even comes from?
Right, exactly.
Huh? And then they turn around and talk about man's free will right after they sing, There Should Be Showers of Blessing.
That's right. You're right. Yeah.
But listen to me. Another question. What is this truth, though? That men trample and foul.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? It means they mock at it.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Mm-hmm.
They jeer at it.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe they deny it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they avoid it. Whatever it is. But in some way or another, they seek to escape the truth.
Yeah.
What is this truth that men trample and foul, and yet we feast and drink upon those very things?
Yes, sir.
Huh? What is it? Now, you may wonder why I start here, but I hope it will become evident. And I'm not trying to say, oh, this is some special thing I've discovered. That's not what I'm talking about. But let me give you one thing. Here, let me start with this one point. This one truth is a truth that we feast upon, that we drink from. It's that good, plush mountain pasture.
Mm-hmm.
It's that cool, not some rushing stream, Neil, that you're afraid to get up close to, but that good, cool mountain water that's flowing gently down. You stick your head right in it and just suck up the water. And yet there are those who trample those green, plush pastures under their feet. And they'll get in that water and just put their old nasty feet right in the middle of it.
Yep.
There's one thing about drinking in these streams, you got to bow down your head to get to it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. One thing about eating the grass on the field, what you got to do? You got to bow down when you do it.
Right.
Here's the first truth that they trample underfoot, that they foul with their foot. Yes, the very truth that we feast upon and drink from, that God Almighty was made flesh.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
In other words, that Jesus Christ the man is God.
Amen.
Now, I hope it will become evident why I start there. But let me give you something here. While all who trample and fail do not deny that Jesus is God by word. Now, some do. Some people say Jesus is just a very special man, right?
Oh, yeah.
A man with just some special power from God.
Oh, yeah.
Had maybe a good chunk of God in him, you know? But most who profess to be Christians say Jesus is God, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You're right.
I mean, most every church that I was born in, and the churches that they associated with Mason, they all said Jesus Christ is God with vehemence.
Oh, yeah.
With conviction. Right? Jesus Christ is God.
Yeah.
The problem was, they didn't know that God is God.
Amen.
That's right.
They don't even know who God is to start with. Therefore, when they say Jesus is God, they don't know what they're talking about.
Exactly.
It's that simple.
Yeah,
you're right.
And Joe, yet that profound.
Exactly.
It's easy to say Jesus is God, but Jesus is God in fact and in deed and in will and in purpose as well as in name.
Exactly.
Joe, you already read it. You trampled on it in a good way.
Yeah.
You was in their feet. I was in their feet, right, but I was feeding right with you, Joe. In the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
And the Word was with God. Yeah?
Hell yeah.
And the Word was God.
Exactly.
And there wasn't nothing that was ever created. Nothing was ever made in this universe that He didn't create.
Amen.
And then what is it? Verse 14, John is ultimately brought to say, and that Word was made flesh. Now think about the enormity of that. The Word, the Word didn't just take on Him a body. The Word was made flesh. That is, that God was made flesh.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ, the man, is God.
Amen.
Here is how they trample underfoot. Here is how they foul this glorious stream. And this is my title. We partake what they trample.
Yeah, you're right.
We partake what they trample. In other words, the very thing they trample under their feet, that's the grass that we feed on.
Yeah.
There are streams that they'll trod right in. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know? Mock it, deny it.
Yep.
Whatever, avoid whatever it is. That's the very stream. Yeah, muddy the waters. That's the very streams that we drink from. How is it that they don't really know who God is? That's the problem. Everybody that professes, other than a few, way out there on the fringes, Neil, everybody who professes to be a Christian says Jesus is God. But when we begin to consider God, the first thing about God is here's what they trample underfoot. Here's what they foul the stream of. God is absolutely holy.
Right. Amen.
And I start there because you remember when Isaiah seen the Lord high and lifted up?
Yes,
what did the first thing he began to hear?
Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
God is absolutely holy. And according to that, in light even and especially of the fall, the psalmist said this. God saying this rather through the psalmist in Psalms 50, verses 21, 22, and 23. He said, you thought that I was altogether such as one as yourself.
Exactly right, yeah.
We read that God said, let us make man in our own image. Mm-hmm. But fallen man wants to forget that he fell.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
He didn't fall.
And we don't manifest that image anymore.
God
said, now you think I'm altogether just like you are. You're taking this thing and twisting it all around.
Right.
You're trodden down the green pastures.
Yes,
you're
sir.
Fouling the cool waters.
Yeah,
but yet, that's where we feed at.
Yes, sir.
That's where we drink at. God is absolutely holy. We know God's not like us.
Exactly.
And then they turn around and say, we ought to be like God. Well, which is it?
There you go. You're right. Piggy pig.
We ought to let people see Jesus in you.
Yeah.
Now I know we say they didn't even see Jesus in Jesus, but I thought we was created in God's image.
There you go.
What happened? We fail in Adam.
Yes, sir.
We have not only ceased to show forth that image, Mason, we foul it and defile that image now.
Amen.
God said, you thought I was altogether one like one unto yourself. Matter in Joe, he's all over my passages. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. You know this one. Look, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's good counsel.
Yes, sir.
Is it not?
Yep, yes,
but think about it. It says while he may be found. What does that indicate to me? There's a time when he will not be found.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
We're not even dealing with that this morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. Is that what it says?
Not quite.
No, let the wicked man forsake his ways.
Yeah.
His way. Why? Because we all think our way is right.
Oh, yeah.
Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And that's a promise that if anybody turns, Mason, they'll find blessing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But look, why? Here's why. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Here we're getting to the essence of holiness.
Yes, sir.
Holiness is certainly sinlessness. God is sinless, but his holiness is not just, God is not holy because he don't smoke cigarettes and go to the movies.
Exactly. Right.
God's not holy because he don't drink Budweiser.
That's right.
Or maybe a good 12-year-old scotch. Yeah. That ain't why God's holy.
No.
God is holy because his thoughts are not our thoughts.
That's right.
Holiness means sanctity, separation, distinctness.
Exactly.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. And hear it, for as the heavens are higher than the earth,
yeah,
so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yep.
And fallen humanity trods this right under their feet.
Yes, they do.
Don't they?
Yes, sir.
They say, well, I think God does this, or believes this, or wants this. It ain't about what we think.
Exactly.
Because God says it's not your thoughts.
Amen.
Your thoughts and mine are not the same.
That's right.
So when I say I think, Mason, I need to step back a moment.
Yep.
I think God's like this. I think God would do this. Step back a moment. Mm-hmm. And see if what you're thinking is coming from who this book says God is, or whether it's coming from in here and something you expect God to be based on you.
Yeah.
For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but what watereth the earth, and maketh it the bring forth and bud, that it may give what? We're still talking about eating again, ain't we?
Yeah.
You see it?
That's right.
Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereinto I send it. You go out with joy.
Amen.
You see, even though some may trample it under their feet, even though they may foul the waters with their feet, we will still feast on these things.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
We'll still feast on these things. God is distinct and separate and above us, period.
Amen.
Yeah.
And we must always hold our thoughts and our ways in check.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Always second guess your thoughts and your ways.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
You know? And say, well, where is it in the Bible that tell me to do this? Well, just wait. Don't do it then until you find out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I believe God would have me do this. Why? Bruce Crabtree said he didn't put exactly these words, but he kind of chuckled one time when he heard a couple say, well, we want to get a house pet, a dog, and we're going to pray about it. But you know what? You best ask God about everything in your life.
Everything but that.
No, that too, Neil.
Yeah, maybe.
That too. Everything.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing you got in this world that God Almighty don't give you for your blessing.
Right.
Or he'll give it for your condemnation.
That's right.
Whatever it is.
Yep.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You see, the problem is we want to pick and choose what we think God ought to be consulted about.
Yeah. There you go. That's right.
Mm. You see, God is holy. And men say God is holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they don't conduct themselves as though God is holy.
There you go.
They would be, in other words, if today there was a leper, and that leper was instructed by modern day free will Christianity, that leper would come to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, you've got to heal me.
That's it.
That's the way it'd be.
Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's what they're taught to do.
Yeah.
That's the way it'd be.
But that leper in Christ's day come up and worshiped him.
Yes, sir.
And said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.
Amen.
The question is never his ability.
No, that's right.
The question is always his will.
Amen.
That's right.
And yet religion turns it around and says he has no ability unless you will.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, you got to let him.
Yeah.
See, God's ways, God's thoughts, God's actions accomplish his purpose always.
Amen.
And that brings me to the second thing. In other words, we partake what they trample. What do they trample? And what is it that we actually partake? That God is absolutely sovereign.
Amen.
God's absolutely sovereign.
Yep.
Somebody says that word's not even in the Bible.
Good to be.
Yeah, it is. You just ain't seen it yet.
Right.
It may not be spelled the way you say it, but you know, the word, what is it? Omnipresence is not in the Bible either. But if you don't see that God's omnipresent taught in this word, all over this word, you just don't get it. And I said, God is absolutely sovereign. You know why? Here's how they trample. Here's how most of them trample. They don't deny that God is sovereign. They just say he's mostly sovereign. He's sovereign in most things.
Yeah.
That's like saying that water is mostly wet.
Exactly.
That's it.
And somebody said, well, when it's frozen, it ain't mostly wet. When it's frozen, it ain't water, it's ice.
There you go, exactly.
Cold water.
Water's all wet. That's its whole makeup. It's wet.
Yeah. There,
you know, we have dry ice still, but we don't have dry water. We ain't talking about dry wine now. We're talking about water.
Yeah, right.
In other words, God is not mostly sovereign.
No.
That's stupid talk.
You're right.
I'm serious. I'm not trying to be mean. That's stupid talk.
Yeah.
That's the talk from absolute spiritual ignorance.
There you go.
And especially in the salvation of the soul, that's the one thing we ought to rejoice the most over that God's sovereign in.
Amen.
Look at Ezekiel. Therefore, toss these false shepherds, the very thing that's meant to feed you, the very thing that's meant to give you a good cold drink when you're thirsty, that's what they trot under their feet.
Yes,
that's what they foul with their feet. But I'm going to make sure you get it.
That's right.
Why? Because I'm going to set up David as your shepherd. He will feed you.
Amen.
I'm going to be your God.
Yes, sir.
And they say that John Calvin came up with this.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, even in his condescension to this earth, didn't come up with this. He was declaring this through Ezekiel here.
Right.
Was it not?
Right. Yes, sir.
And even further back than that.
Oh, yeah.
Here is where they trample and foul. But here's, nevertheless, where we eat and drink. Listen to what Paul said. Romans chapter 9, and just this one verse. Romans chapter 9, verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will.
Yes.
And it says have mercy, and that's okay. It doesn't destroy nothing. There. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Isn't that what we just read back here in Ezekiel? I'll judge between fat cattle and lean cattle. And I'll judge between just the cattle. That's his business.
Amen.
Folks, I look out at some other places, other people, and I thought, boy, why don't we have that? Because Jesus Christ makes those judgments.
There you go.
Hmm?
That's right. Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
Why don't I have that? Because God said you don't have that. That's why. If he meant for you to have that, bless God, you'd have it. And thank God you don't have it. If you ain't, because you don't need it. Huh? And yet, what do? Now I'll get into murmuring, Penny. I'm not even going to preach on murmuring. Mm-mm. God says, I'll have mercy on whom I will and whom I harden. Somebody said, well, he only hardens bad people. We're all bad people. Someone told Penny the other day, someone that we care greatly about. Well, yeah, God hates some people, but he hates blasphemers. And I'm like scratching my head.
Yeah.
They've listened to the lie of religion.
Yeah.
Saul of Tarsus said I was a blasphemer.
That's right.
But he said Jesus Christ loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah.
So I know that's a lie of the devil.
Exactly.
God hates whom he will.
Yes, sir.
Because here's the point. Here's where they trample. And here's where they foul. And here's the very thing that we eat on and drink from. They don't deny God's right to save. They deny his right as to whom to save.
There you go. That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't deny that God has the right to save. They just don't think God has the right to save who he wants to.
Exactly.
And God said, I love Jacob and I hate Esau. That's the way it is.
That's what he said.
And it was even told his mother this, their mother this, rather, before they were even born, before they'd ever even done any good or evil,
that
the purpose of God, according to what? Election might stand.
That's right. That's what it said.
Oh, they don't deny that there is an election. They just think God looked into the future and seen who would do the right thing. You ain't going to do the right thing unless God Almighty chose you to do the right thing to start with.
Yeah, exactly.
Ask that king. Remember that king? Remember Abraham, the little dry time, and went down. Was it Egypt where he went first? One of them. That man was going to have Abraham's wife. And would have. But God Almighty not kept him from sinning.
That's right.
Now, if God didn't do that for the next guy coming along, Joe, then that's God's business.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And let me tell you, the guys who did it, whether it was right or wrong, Joe, they're still guilty.
Yes, sir.
They were either right or wrong, and whatever they did with, whether it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
Exactly.
But God Almighty's still sovereign in all of it.
Amen.
They don't deny God's right to save. They deny that God has the right to save who he wants to. But God said, right here in Romans 9, and it's clear, there is no place for playing around here in Romans 9.
No, you're right.
I'll have mercy on whom I will. Whom I harden, I'll harden them.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't deny God's right to redeem. They just deny that he did redeem.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, what did Paul say? Look at Galatians. Chapter 3. I do want to read this one to you. And this is like, there is, it's nothing new. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, if you'll believe and repent. Now, would that not have been the perfect place to write that down if that were what the truth was? Would it not? Is that not what so-called Christian religion teaches today? Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law if you'll do this or that. If you'll repent, if you'll believe, if you'll do both. You'll repent, believe, be baptized. Repent, believe, be baptized. Join the church, do good works, right?
Oh, yeah.
What does he say? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us.
Amen.
So whoever was redeemed, they were redeemed, when Christ was made the curse.
Amen.
Isn't that what that actually says?
Yes,
and then look. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come.
Amen.
Do you see it?
Yes, sir.
Redemption guaranteed the blessing to come.
Amen. That's it.
You don't get blessed or seek God's blessing or try to gain God's blessing by anything you do. And then what Christ did on Calvary will be of some good for you. That's a lie straight from the mouth of Antichrist himself.
That's it.
So they don't deny his right to redeem. They just deny the fact that he did redeem. Here's another thing. They do not deny his right in spiritual life. They just deny his right to give spiritual life to whom he wants to.
You're right. That's it.
Read what Christ said in John 5, 25 and 26. He said, the Father has life in himself. He's given it to the Son.
That's
just
right.
Likewise. But right before he said that, he said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, what? Shall live. Now, how much does a dead man cooperate at all?
Exactly.
He don't. And like one preacher said, a guy asked him, well, we got to figure out how dead man really is. He dead dead.
There you go. Exactly.
This is not some Hollywood movie where the one guy was, what, mostly dead? And he had to do all that stuff to him. Some kind of silly movie, The Princess Bride or something. He's mostly dead. No, dead's dead.
Exactly.
I mean dead. And Christ said, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God.
Yeah.
And those that hear are going to what, Joe? They're going to live.
Amen.
But the very things that they're trampling under their feet and fouling with their feet, Neil, that's the things we feast on.
Yes, sir.
Here's the last one here. They do not deny his gospel is good news. Do they? They don't deny his gospel is good news. They just deny the good news of his gospel.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Amen.
That sounds silly, don't it? But that's the way it works.
That's the way they do it.
That's how bad we are by nature. We'll say the gospel's good news. But I don't believe the good news that the gospel is.
Yeah, exactly.
Go back and read again. I'm not going to read it. Go back and read Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 20 through 26, and you will read the gospel.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Won't you? But now let me read it to you from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5. And you're not even going to find the word or the phrase gospel here. But listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm going to read to you the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes,
Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly.
Amen.
Now, here's two things that mark every person for whom the gospel is preached. One, they have no strength.
Exactly.
We're not weak.
No.
We have no strength. And we're what? Also what? Ungodly.
There you go.
Have you ever found yourself there?
Exactly.
That's what I ask you. That's one. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. And this is men amongst men.
Yep, exactly.
But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus Christ died only for who? Sinners. If you're not a sinner, you got no right to believe he died for you.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
Much more then.
Yeah.
So Paul's saying there's something now that builds on top of that. He's not throwing this to the side, Mac.
Yeah.
But he says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. But so that none of us misunderstand what he's talking about, he explains, for if.
Yeah.
When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Right. Amen.
That lets me know if Jesus Christ died for you, he's going to save you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
So when those people trample, they say, well, the guy, we know. We know that his gospel's good news. And they turn around and deny the very good news that is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
What they trample underfoot, what they deny, what they mock, what they scoff at, that's the very thing that we feast upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
My conclusion is this: trampled pastures and fouled waters, all around us. It would seem that at least in our day and age that almost all of the fields of God's truth have been trampled to some degree.
Yeah.
And almost all of the streams of God's truth have been fouled to some degree. But we still feast on that truth.
Yes, sir.
We don't feast simply on their lies. No, we're not feasting on their lies. We're feasting on God's truth. They just trample it under their feet. We still take it like it is.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We take it like it is.
Yep.
Yeah, trampled pastures and fouled waters. Yeah, all around us. There was a day and a time in this country when the gospel we preached was known to be the gospel.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And you're right.
Nowadays, we're like a group of weirdos.
Yeah.
No, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right.
That's how much trampling these good pastures have been trampled. That's how much these good, cool streams have been fouled with the feet of wicked and ungodly men.
Yeah.
But they are glorious. Remember, they are glorious. These truths.
Yeah.
This truth is glorious nonetheless.
Yeah.
Though men mock it, though they jeer it, though they deny it, though they avoid it, or whatever, it is glorious nonetheless.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's what God has ordained we feed on.
Right.
Yes,
that's right.
Right.
And if you're one of the sheep, you'll never be satisfied.
Yeah.
You'll never be satisfied at any other time other than when you're feeding.
Exactly.
In those pastures.
That's right.
And in those streams.
Yes, amen.
Sir. That's right. Mason, you may turn away from them for a little bit, but Neil, you got to get back to them after a while. You know what I mean? Somebody may take a horn, push you out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Come in with a wide shoulder. Push you out of the stream, Joe. But bless God, he'll bring you back.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Hmm? Why? Because he's ordained it to be so.
Yep.
And they can't stop it.
That's right. Yep. Amen.
Because if they kill us trying to keep us from it, they've done us a favor.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Hmm? If they kill us trying to keep us from it, they've done us a favor.
Exactly.
They won't horn me not one more time if they kill me. Will they? They won't have a shoulder against me not one more time if they kill me. I'll be done with it.
That's right.
Right? And that's just the way it is, is it not?
Just the way it is.
Thank you, Lord, for these promises. Things we often become so complacent in. So easily forget. But, oh God, remind us of them. Strengthen us by them. Encourage us in them. And Lord, help us to encourage one another. Help us to support one another. To love one another. Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. And I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Almost 12 o'clock, folks.
You keep going. You got
that's about all I can
do. Not because it's 12 o'clock.